Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Good morning, Vietnam! I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
I am J-Clone 23.
I thought I still had the mic muted for a second. I'm like, dang it, was really good.
Now I'm going to do it again, but no, I think you're good. I heard you.
Welcome to Cryptids of Corn Podcast. If this is your first installment, I'm sorry, because that was a crazy intro. What? That probably, if you had your radio turned up too loud in your car,
oh,
that probably scared you.
Maybe a little bit. But I was going to ask, why'd you do that? But then, oh yeah, subject matter.
The subject matter. This is one that's been on my mind forever. And this is probably one of my biggest regrets with the show. That's probably why we haven't done it.
Biggest regrets?
Yeah. Vietnam Rock Apes.
You have a regret?
Yes, because Grandpa passed away before I could record his story.
Oh, gotcha.
And I think that's why I've avoided doing this for so long.
Did we ever... We never started this, though. He was already passed away, right?
It was right at the... No, he passed away the year we started it.
Okay.
Like, literally, we just started doing it.
Okay.
Because he passed away that winter.
It was that winter?
It was that winter. So we'd only done...
2 episodes?
10 episodes, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Now, this is back when we weren't doing 5 a week.
Yeah. Yeah, so very different. So, yeah, we're Vietnamese rock apes. This one that I've heard since I was a kid about and heard a bunch of Vietnam vets talk about. We're going to talk about. Yeah. I have some accounts. I'm going to apologize right now. A lot of Vietnam words. Don't speak Vietnamese.
You don't?
Nope.
You can read it, though, right?
Yeah. So everything I say is correct.
Wouldn't that be funny if you could read, like, crystal clear in Vietnamese? Is that how you'd say it?
Vietnamese?
Like, that's their language?
Yes, they speak Vietnamese.
Okay. Just making sure. I don't know.
Yep, Vietnam. Laos is Laotian.
Yeah, Laotian. That's a fun one to say.
It is. It's an interesting people, too. I just remember from King of the Hill.
Yeah, Khan's from Laos.
He's like, he's not a Chinaman. He's Laotian.
Yeah, exactly.
And Khan's like, oh, somebody finally can tell us apart. All right, Vietnam Rock Apes. What do you know about these before I continue? Do you know how much?
I know in the Vietnam, or I think I know, at least in my mind, this is what they are. They were creatures that were in the forests of Vietnam, but they would throw rocks at like the soldiers and stuff and make noises and kind of alert, I guess, people to your location. Not on purpose, not like saying like they're trying to expose an American soldier, pose some, or what's the word? expose. There we go. Expose some soldier or something like that. It's not what they were trying to do. It's just kind of a product of their nature. But that's the only thing I know about them. So they're throwing rocks at, you know, and then they toss little rocks at soldiers and whatnot. But that's about it.
They attacked a lot of people too. We'll get to.
Okay.
They were not innocent. Easy things to be around.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, innocent, you know, if they're an animal, you really can't say innocent or guilty. It's like the tigers. Grandpa talked about tigers in Vietnam, which were terrifying.
Yeah.
Water buffalo was the worst things they've ever dealt with.
Really?
Yeah, he got flipped in a Jeep with one.
It just charged it?
Yeah. Well, no, it acted like it was going to come up and be cool. Because a lot of the American soldiers thought they were, like, viewed them as cows almost.
Right. Because
they used them as work animals sometimes and stuff like that. So, like, okay, you know, like being around
docile,
a cow.
Big creature, yeah.
And then they would just snap and then murder you.
Yeah.
Like, Grandpa talked about a guy getting stomped to death and stuff like that.
Good Lord.
They're not easy going.
No, not something you want to really be around. But I heard the milk's good.
I've never heard of anybody milking a water buffalo.
Really? Is it water buffalo or just buffalo? No, it's water buffalo. Yeah, I heard their milk's good.
Bison, I'd be even more surprised if somebody milked a bison.
Yeah, no, it's water buffalo, buffalo milk.
So yeah, Vietnam, you know, it wasn't a war, right?
What?
It wasn't a war.
Well, technically.
That's what I'm saying. That's Grandpa dealt with that forever.
Yeah.
Because they don't get nearly as good of benefits as being in a war.
Right, yeah.
Because it's a conflict. It was ridiculous. The whole thing was just an American government experiment.
Oh, for sure.
It could have been over in a fifth the time.
It could have never even happened.
Oh, yeah. All wars could have never happened.
Right. It was all propaganda.
It's the French's fault.
As many things are in the world.
No, I mean, we have like 8 French listeners, so I'm sorry. Come to America or move to Spain or somewhere. I don't know.
Just get out of France.
Get out of France.
Stop being French. Don't identify with that anymore.
I identify as French Canadian.
Ooh, bonjour.
Probably the only thing worse than the French.
Is what? French Canadian?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I know a few of them. They're pretty nice.
I just remember Letterkenny. They always pick on the French Canadians.
Oh, I actually don't know any. I heard they're rude.
All right, even before fighting started in the jungles of Vietnam, there had been long stories of something lurking in the remote areas. Various people of the jungle said choked on infamous intruders of Vietnam, Laos, and northern Borneo. In particular, here's one of these words.
Yep.
The Zhu Chang is what I think it is.
That's pretty good.
Nature preserve. Well, I'm just making noises with my mouth and hoping they're... Or similar.
That sounded Vietnamese.
So, Zhu Chang is a giant nature preserve. It has a long history of rich traditions of a small, bipedal, hairy, ape-like creature known by tons of names. I have a bunch of the original names. I'm going to try to say some for you. All right. Bat Utut.
Okay.
Bat Utut. And that's how it's spelled. Bat Utut.
Okay.
Utit.
Okay.
Now, this one has letters. I do not know what they are. So, like I said, it looks like a U with roots coming out of it and leaves. The Nori Nori.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It's also been known as the Nori Rang, is how I guess it would be pronounced in America for Americans, the Nori Rang. This roughly translates to little jungle people.
Okay.
These jungle people are said to stand about 1.8 meters tall. Which is not little.
1.8 meters?
Yeah, that's 6 feet, roughly. Stout and very muscular. Protruding muscles covered in hair, covering their hair ranging from brown to black in color.
Wait, are you sure that's... I thought a meter was like a little over 3 feet.
Yes.
So 1.8
meters would be like 6 feet.
I guess you're probably about right. All right, never mind.
Okay, I'm glad we agreed and yelled at me.
But
I'm glad you stopped the flow.
Something didn't sound right in my head.
1.8 meters.
It's this metric system, dang it.
We're going to talk later about... the cops behind me.
Yeah, they're coming for you.
We're going to talk later about the Orang Pendek, which some people consider to be similar things.
Okay.
But Orang Pendeks are really small.
Yeah, they're short.
I mean, like 3 foot tall is a big one, as far as we know.
That's when that video, he's about that tall.
So they range from brown to black, mostly in color. Except for their knees, the soles of their feet, their hands, and their faces, which are completely bare. Their knees are bare, which is as far as these Bigfoot-type entities. And by Bigfoot, I mean a hairy man.
Right.
A hairy human, a hairy biped. I've never heard that before with any of these other creatures. Never once. I've heard of hairy loose bellies. I've heard, you know.
Yeah.
But knees?
Knees is a weird, odd feature.
And we're going to talk about their biology or their behaviors, and that may explain that.
Okay.
Although they inhabit isolated remote jungle areas, the Norirang are reported to be rather bold and aggressive, especially in their varieties from Borneo, where they will apparently attack humans without thinking about it twice. These things will just run up and murder people. There's stories of them like grabbing people in the middle of the walking groups.
Yeah.
The walking straight lines.
And just yanking them out.
Like velociraptors from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And you just see like, whoom!
Gone.
And guy's gone.
That would be freaking scary.
And they're already eating him.
Yeah. Gosh.
They're not. We're going to talk about primates here. They're not orangutans.
Or they don't move that fast, right?
Orangutans don't have a care in the world.
They're just kind of there.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd have a bad attitude if you push them, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, anything.
Like any animal.
They're huge. They're 400 pounds, 500 pounds. They could snap you like a twig.
Yeah, exactly.
But they just, our friends from Cincinnati Zoo and stuff like that. They keep them in with gibbons, right?
Yeah.
They could murder those gibbons in a heartbeat.
Really?
They don't.
Yeah.
They get annoyed and they throw stuff at them and stuff like that. But they're not like a gorilla that gets, overly aggressive.
And, yeah, just.
Or a chimpanzee that'll eat them.
Yeah.
They just, you're like, yeah, whatever. Anyways. I brought up the orangutan. I've seen people say that these are just orangutans that these people are dealing with.
Yeah.
Running and murdering people.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there could be a rogue. Maybe they had a bad history.
This one orangutan got into the heroin really strong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, say, what if a group of like people went in and murdered like their whole family and he was the one like lone survivor and he's got this Rambo complex?
So the locals of these regions consider these creatures to be merely a fact of life. The Bata Uta Uta are not really known to be outside to the outside world until the war began to be impeded into their domain.
Mm.
During these days, the troops toiled and fought, and the clouds of mosquitoes clouded the jungles, dodging enemy bullets and hiking ruthlessly through the humid, oppressive heat. I wish he was alive for this episode, because just to hear him talk about the jungle,
how hot, like
it was like swimming. He's like, there's no way to cool, like they would like. Yeah, it was just ridiculous. He was drunk the entire time, and he wouldn't mind me telling that story. Because he would, we'll talk.
Because he's miserable?
Yeah, because he's like, that's the only way you could do it. There was numerous reports of soldiers of strange creatures prowling the forest. They're neither human nor ape. It would be known as rock apes. Accounts of these encounterings, these creatures, seem to be very comparable through the Vietnam War. Both sides of the conflict. In many cases, the strange beast were mistaken for enemy troops, only to be startled soldiers when they were actually seen up close. Yeah, like a lot of these were like, they thought they were guys.
Yeah.
Until the Viet Cong were in the mountains, like they had the tunnels, they were in the trees, they were in rice paddies.
Yeah.
So now you have a little Bigfoot out there that also hates you.
I just imagine, like, I have to see enemy soldiers sneaking up on him. Ha! You turn the corner and it's a freaking rock ape turns around, like looks at you. I would probably either shoot it or immediately run.
Both happened.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And that may be why, we'll talk about that, may be why the rock apes towards the end of Vietnam were getting more and more and more aggressive, because they were getting shot at.
Yeah.
The most well-known in-depth publication of these anamic creatures is from a book from the Vietnam soldier named Curl P. J. Jorgensen.
Curl?
Kurg.
Kurg?
P.J. Jorgensen.
Okay.
K-R-E-G-G. Like Craig.
Kurg. K-R... Oh, Craig. K-R-E-G-G.
It's like Craig, but I think it's Craig.
Yeah, I think it is, but it's like
Craig?
A weird... Like it's German or something.
Oh, I definitely think it's not an American name.
Yeah. I think it's Craig.
Well, he's an American soldier, but... It's Craig?
K-R-E-G-G?
Yeah.
That's Craig.
Okay. This book is called Very Crazy G.I., Strange but True Stories of the Vietnam War.
Okay.
I want this book. The accounts describe an ordeal of six men in the unit of the 101st Airborne Division who were taking a break after a relentless hike through the unforgiving mountain jungle terrain carrying heavy packs. Even when they rested, they were attuned to the surrounding environment, very aware of the Viet Cong that were everywhere and could strike at any moment. And they were. Like, Grandpa would talk about that, like, Viet Cong would be under, like, he was described like rocks.
Yeah.
They would be covered in rocks.
You'd
walk past them.
And they'd pop up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a war, right? So it's not,
Have you seen their little, like, hideout spots, like, for individual soldiers, like, just on the ground? They dig these little holes.
Yeah.
And they just jump down in them and cover them with brush.
Yeah.
You can't even see.
No.
That there's anything
there.
They've
been fighting a war for 1,000 years.
Yeah. Okay. So they know. They not that they know what they're doing, but they've had a lot of current experience in doing that during the wartime.
So, yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's crazy. But, yeah, Grandpa talked about them literally being, like, under rocks.
Yeah.
And just waiting.
That's nuts.
Anyway, so they're like, they could be anywhere. Jungle terrain, heavy packs. Even when they rested, they were, you know, looking at the surroundings. As the unit sat there resting, exhausted, their sweat-soaked fatigues, some trees located around 15 yards uphill reportedly began shaking violently. But assumed that this was the enemy. The soldiers prepared their weapons and their trained eyes on the suspicious jolting trees. As they sat and wait, mosquitoes buzzing around their heads, creeping, sucking the dread coming out of the out of their battle weights, heavy on their minds, it was noticed that the oblong head with a face covered in reddish hair in a posing of a huge mouth and a dark, deep-set eyes emerged from the bush.
Hmm.
Let me reread that.
Yeah.
So a head, they noticed, so they're watching this whole patch of trees starting to
move.
Shaking.
Yeah.
They're like, that's the Viet Cong, okay, and they're all trained on it. One spot, they see a head, oblong in shape. So let me get it back. Sorry. Oblong head with its face covered in reddish hair, it possessing a huge mouth with dark, deep-set eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So very, almost like the conical head Bigfoot style.
Yeah.
The cone heads. But deep eyes, and Bigfoot here in North America, they have deep, you know, depending
black.
Which one. Yeah. Deep, I mean, deep set eyes, like the eyes are deep in their skull.
Gotcha, like the big brow ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But face, the hair is covered in face.
Their face is covered in hair, and it's red
hair. Hair is covered in face.
Yeah.
The startled soldiers then witnessed a strange creature step out of the underbrush, reveal a 5 foot tall, muscular frame enveloped with a matted reddish hair, after which they stood there on two legs, seemingly carefully scrutinizing the men. The soldiers then speculated that it must have been a large orangutan. Before they pointed out that the orangutans were not native to Vietnam, they were arguing over what it could be. The strange beast reportedly lost interest in them and quietly slinked back into the rainforest.
I'm shocked they didn't shoot it, to be honest.
It was coming.
Yeah, I mean,
if it would have ran at him, it would have been dead.
Oh, dead for sure.
But it popped up. I think there was more than that, and I don't know if it was there to scare the guys or if there was a couple of them in the forest fighting, and then one guy's like, "Oh, what's that over there? Oh,
yeah.
What are you guys?
It could be
weird,
something like that, or even it could have just been like distracting them. Like it made itself to, you know, divert their attention from something else. Because I feel like, well, that's still forest creatures and forest giants. This isn't really a giant, but you know, Bigfoot type creatures. They do. We think they do stuff like that, you know? They'll distract you. If it is a Bigfoot or, you know, along that family line, if the same behaviors or whatnot, it wouldn't want to actually be seen unless it wants to be seen.
Right. All right. And, sorry, in one 1968 account from the jungles of Vietnam, Robert Byrd's diary, he described an incident in which the unit began hearing unexplectable noises along with the outer perimeter of their camp at night. Not knowing what they were hearing was normal jungle life or an enemy, the Mexican-American corporal, nicknamed Poncho, took it upon himself to investigate the evening. Poncho determinedly marched up the hill to the commanding bunker to see what was going on. When the corporal was on his way back, he witnessed to let out several short bursts of fire, and his weapon began hurrying back to camp with somewhat unsettled and in an agitated state. Almost immediately, the unit lieutenant had began to radio demands to knowing what he was firing at. So that was a big thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he started shooting at stuff.
Like, but what?
What'd you shoot at?
Yeah.
Like, is there Viet Cong out there? Like, we gotta know. Like,
right.
Grandpa got in trouble for shooting a snake. I'll tell that story, too.
Yeah. I think you... Well, maybe not on the main show.
Not on the main show. Almost immediately, like I said, he began getting shouted out. When Poncho reached back to camp, he excitedly related that he'd been walking back when he noticed the brush had not, or a bush that had not been there before.
Oh.
So he walked up the hill. As he's coming back, there's a bush that's there that was not there a minute ago.
Seems sus.
Yeah, especially when the Viet Cong were wearing trees.
Bushes.
When he leaned, when he leaned down to take a look, it allegedly snorted at him, causing him to panic and fire. Bird would say this later. What we had encountered was an ambiguous rock ape of Vietnam. I would come to learn that they were nearly everywhere and quite fearless. it was what we heard near the wire that night. So yeah, he looks down and this thing, this human-esque thing, not really human.
Yeah.
And he starts shooting at it, and then I'm assuming the bush took off.
Either the bush took off or the bush fell over.
Yeah, I wonder why they got more vine as Vietnam went on.
Yeah. Hmm.
In another encounter in 1969, the patrol was caught off guard by enemy fire, after which everyone took cover. It was then something strange made its presence known to the group. As the witness were laying there, avoiding getting shot, there was a figure that broke out of the thick vegetation, what first seemed to be a large man. But it ran past it was clear. It was something else altogether. The figure was described as being 7 foot in height, impressive built, mostly covered in reddish brown black hair. Whatever it was moved extremely quick. It was caught by some bullets in the crossfire, after which it stumbled but didn't go down. It was the enemy began yelling something to each other, and excitedly the witness could not understand before they started running off, with one of the enemy even leaving his weapon behind in the panic haste. The American patrol regrouped and headed to a more secure location. So the Viet Cong, the second they shot one of these things, they dropped their guns and ran. They had the Americans pinned down.
Yeah.
They were going to kill these American soldiers.
Accidentally shot one of these.
Yeah.
And then ran away.
Yeah. So they're very fearful of these things.
Because they know.
Yeah. Well, it's like Ape Canyon.
You're right. That's very similar.
Yeah. You don't shoot a Bigfoot unless you're going to kill it. And I don't think you should shoot one anyways.
Even if you kill it.
But if you wound one, it's bad.
Even if you kill one, even worse, I think, in my opinion.
Oh, probably, if there's a bunch of them, yeah. So, like I said, the panic haste, American patrol, they got to move secure area. Man, I can't read.
Yeah, what's going on
here? The night was assimilated by a barrage of strange animalistic noises from the night. Sounds of whines, barks, howls, grunts. The next day, some patrol requested permission to go investigate what they'd seen and heard the previous day. And as the search was underway, they came across an enemy soldier that seemed to be viciously and maliciously torn apart. The patrol was so disturbed by the gruesome sight that they went back to their base on hill, and the one witness would say this about it. The rest of the time we were in Vietnam, I never heard sounds or saw anything so vicious like this. The talk of what we had seen or what we'd seen spare very quick, and some of the locals called it a name I could never remember nor pronounce. But the translation, if I recall correctly, was stretch monkey or stench monkey or foul monkey. Something like that. I can't remember for sure. What I do know is if that you bothered me so much that I was transferred from there, the job on the helicopter, so I wouldn't be anywhere near the jungle anymore. So, yeah, the Viet Cong apparently knew, if you shoot one of these things,
yeah,
it's bad news bears.
Oh, yeah.
But like you said, Ape Canyon, you know, they shot one, and I don't know if they killed that big one that was walking. It's just weird, like, very much no fear. An active gunfight is going on.
And they're just...
And it's like, walking around, watching, get shot. And
yeah.
Like, okay, now you're in trouble.
Well, he could have gotten, like, kind of caught in between, though.
He was behind where the Americans were getting shot at. He walked in between the firing.
Oh, gotcha.
And then he caught strays. And then the Viet Cong were like, that's not good. Some rocket accounts are truly dramatic and frightening. One such account was given by Michael Kelly, a D Court 1st 52 Division Infantry, and the 101st Airborne Division describes not one rock ape, but guess how many?
Four.
Hundreds.
Oh.
In the account in 1969, eight of these strange creatures were casually walking up the trail on the ridge of New Motu, and surprised the platoon that were in the middle of them having lunch, and they turned to the ridge about 10 meters from the men were situated. According to Kelly, the platoon was first immediately thought that it was the Viet Cong and all hell was about to break loose. The squad of the men opened with their M16s, M79s, and grenade launchers, lighting up the forest in a vicious display of booming firepower and flying pieces of vegetation. Kelly himself was on the far end of the clearing, about 50 meters from where the barrage, which continuously shooting, had started. When he grabbed his weapon to run and join them, along with the sergeant platoon, taking cover under a toppled tree. So there's more. Did you have something?
Oh, just gonna say yeah. So the army or whatever platoon this is, just pretty much open fired on.
They were on a ridge trail. They were way up in the mountain. Eight guys, as far as they knew, were walking straight at them.
Right.
So they assumed it was the Viet Cong coming to murder them.
Yeah.
So they lit them up.
That's what I'm just saying, like, whatever these creatures are, whether they're
Grandpa would talk about the forest, like, you would see jungle falling apart from the gunfire.
Yeah.
They would shoot through trees and stuff like that with how many rounds were flying.
You ever seen the movie Predator?
Yeah.
So when Jesse the Body has that big Gatling gun, just starts firing in the wood, and then mows the whole tree forest down.
Yeah.
Didn't kill it.
For a few moments, Kelly and the platoon sergeant stayed hidden as the cacophony of gunfire erupted everywhere. While they finally gave each other the nod to emerge, they popped up from behind a tree where they just see the sizable enemy force descending upon the jungle by a nonstop barrage of ruthless gunfire. What they saw instead was a platoon firing away at ghostly images that were swooshing through the bushes and the trees all around them. These mysterious intruders were described as being 5.5 foot tall. They were only light brown to reddish and brown in color. The others were almost black and were particularly aggressive, large male, which reportedly madly rushed at the men through the thick underbrush, snarling and baring its teeth. Though at the frightening encounter, the ape-like beast reportedly made sounds that sounded exactly like dogs barking. Then the creatures, whatever they were, abruptly melted away into the forest, disappearing as if they were never there. When the surprised platoon reemerged to their composure, they searched the bullet-ridden, gun smoke-filled perimeter of the area and found no signs of dead bodies of animals, man, or anything in between. No blood, fur. Kelly would remark about this surreal encounter. "This may sound very strange to you, but although I had little to no concern about killing the enemy, the killing of an innocent animal turned my stomach and could engage me could have enraged me if I had done it unnecessarily. But I searched the site and found not a drop of blood, with total amazement given the amount of firing that had gone on. I wondered this day if we were shooting just to scare the rock apes away or whether that they were really just poor marksmen. The men who'd suffered this surprise looked a bit worse than me. I'm sure a few of them had wished their shorts or had to wash their shorts as a result of the unwelcome visit. It would really scare the crap out of them. I kid you not."
Literally, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. So they see eight. They start shooting at him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the forest is full of these creatures.
Right, yeah.
Moving all around them, like shadows. Apparently, there was one that everybody could remember was this giant black male.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess they seen something that made them call it a male.
But
so it's really like one aggressive one that they remembered. I'm going to assume why they called it a male is because it had something mammalian of it, or maybe its physique. People do that with Bigfoot too here in North America. That, you know, we think the football player physique is more male. I don't know. It may have had some genitalia exposed where they could be like, boy. You know, some animals it's easy to tell, some animals it's not.
Right.
But yeah, odd. And the rest of them were brown or red. And then hundreds of them, as you know, the jungle was alive with these ghosts.
Right.
I've heard this story told differently, just so you know.
Okay.
As it was a ghost encounter.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This is from his book. And this is, you know, the guy that was there said that they were ape-like. But I've heard other places use it as a ghost encounter with Vietnam.
Okay.
Like that they were shooting at ghosts in the forest. Like there's nothing really there.
Right, yeah.
I don't know what's more correct. But it's as far as I'm concerned, it's a Vietnam rocket.
Well, I've seen some accounts, like people, Bigfoot researchers and stuff I follow. This one guy, cannot think of his... I think his name's Mike, but I cannot for the life of me think of his last name. But I see his stuff from time to time. He's always posting stuff, but he had gotten these images recently of this property that he's been researching pretty extensively. I think he's on the West Coast somewhere. But he got this image of it looked like a Bigfoot, you know, outline image. But it was like a ghostly, apparition-y, you know, photo. Like a Bigfoot, but made of, like, mist. And it was weird because it was dark, but you could see, like, the outline of it. But it wasn't – you could tell it wasn't physically there. It was just something – almost imitating the outline of a Bigfoot, but he said when he saw it, or like he just showed like a screenshot of it, they just got a photograph of it, but it just described it as like a Bigfoot basically just walking through, but it was more ghostly.
Vietnam was so full. from everything from the, there was some of our gargantuan gliders.
Yeah.
The giant manta rays were here in Vietnam.
Yeah.
The Vietnamese vampires were seen all the time. The Fae, or not the Fae, sorry, the Foo.
Foo, okay, the Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters are the people that were trying to catch the Foo.
Oh, okay.
The Foo were the giant balls of light.
Yeah.
That would shoot weapon, like.
Oh, they were, I thought they were the Foo Fighters.
No, the Foo Fighters were the people trying to
kill the Foo.
Yeah.
Or destroy the Foo.
Yeah.
Catch, whatever.
Yeah.
Shoot.
I'm pretty sure, because that's what they called them, the Foo Fighters.
Okay, I just thought that
there's,
the Foo Fighters were the lights themselves.
Maybe I may be wrong on that. I was pretty sure it was the other way around.
I have no idea.
Anyways, so yeah, odd, right?
Very.
I don't know, man. Rock apes are always a weird one. This is probably, Grandpa told me this story when I was really young before before the Bigfoot encounter, before anything like.
About rock apes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I think it was just kind of one of those things that like, like the Vietnamese people said in the beginning of this episode, it's just an animal to them.
Yeah.
It's just a thing that they lives out in the forest. Like we talk about with deer.
Very well might be. It could be just some primate that is, you know,
whether it's
unaccounted for or undiscovered. Sure. Yeah.
Whether it's paranormal or not doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
It could be paranormal and still living out there. But it's so like like the totems.
Yeah.
One of the totems of North America and like northern tribes that have the totems. Normally they only have physical beings on the totems.
Right.
Or they have spiritual beings on the totems. They don't normally mix them.
Mix them back and forth.
I may not be right on that. I'm not a Native American expert, but from what I researched, the one episode we did talk about that, that's what it seemed. So, like, Bigfoot appears on a lot of the non-spirit animal ones. But I think it also maybe appears on the spirit animal ones, too.
Okay.
Or it's, you know, these animals walking through.
In between.
Both.
Yeah.
All right. And some of the massacre garment, rock apes that are apparently not an isolated incident. Another shocking account from another platoon was overrun by a large number of these creatures. In 1966, a highly strategic location known as Hill 868 in Quang Nam province was allegedly been the site of a battle between the Marines and a large group of rock apes. In this account, Marines operated in the area called their captain, reported the movement in the brush, in which they believed to be a large force of the Viet Cong heading their way. So, like, the whole area is, like, moving. Like, there's a big group of people coming.
And, yeah.
The captain then radioed back saying that they should stay in place and that no one was to fire in order not to give away their position. The patrol soon radioed back saying that it had turned out that it was not the Viet Cong at all, but rather a large group of hairy bipedal humanoids all around them. The Marine patrol was then commanded not to fire or not to open fire again, but instead to throw rocks at the creatures to scare them away. This would prove to be unwise. As the rock apes began hurling rocks back at them with great force.
Yeah.
All of them, while screeching and growling around in the jungle, was estimated to be hundreds, if not thousands, of these creatures.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
I wonder if, because that's two accounts in a row with sounds like a lot of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if they just are able to make whatever noises, you know?
Don't.
That amplifies them.
Shh.
Seems like multiple.
No, animals don't do that.
Rock apes. Yeah.
Animals don't do that.
At once.
No, we'll talk about that. No, I do have that later.
Okay.
Some animals do that, specifically some primates.
Some do-do?
Yeah, some do-do. Some animals do that behavior.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, primates will make themselves sound like there's a bunch more of them.
Yeah.
They make predators leave.
Yeah.
So I think you are correct. Unless they physically seen a ton of these animals, then...
And that's another thing, too, with that last story I was going to say. What if it's like, what if there wasn't actually, well, there was no blood. There's no, nothing. What if these things also have a relationship with the forest they live in? And that, whatever, like, I'm kind of drawing the line, like, there are physical beings there, but there also could be, like, the fae type beings, the forest elementals. Whatever.
Well, hold on to that.
Okay.
That's getting into the end stuff.
Okay.
It's love stories.
Okay.
So during this, despite this assault of rocks and numerous requests for permission to open fire, the Marines were never told to shoot, but rather to use bayonets instead, so to stab these things to death. Shortly after, the captain could hear screeching and screams of pain from both Marines and apes alike over the radio. So the guy that's ordering, and this, Grandpa talked about this a little, he's like, he hated anybody over the radio. Because they were, you know, these commanders, these people in charge, were sitting in safe houses.
They weren't there.
Hundreds of miles, not hundreds of miles, you know.
Right.
But they were sitting somewhere safe, like, yeah, don't shoot at them. Just go stab those monkeys to death.
Yeah.
And then I go over there stabbing all you hear on the radio.
They're eating my face.
Yeah. Well, send another platoon over there.
Yeah, throw rocks at them instead.
So, over the radio, frantic messages. So, he kept getting broken messages back over there saying, we're going hand to hand. And shortly after that, the hill erupted in a roar of gunfire, screamings, and screechings. So, they try to go stab these monkeys to death. It didn't go good.
No.
And then they just, like, the captain is, you know, probably 2 miles away. Just hears, like, the hill is just lighting up.
Yeah.
Like, well, that didn't go well.
Calling the...
When the captain said men to go investigate, because, you know, he's not going over
no.
there. The war-torn area found it was littered with injured men and allegedly the bloodied bodies of several of these mysterious rock apes. No Marines had died, but several were seriously injured and had to be evacuated by helicopter immediately. The alleged battle became so infamous... It was called the Battle of Dong Den.
Wow.
You can look it up. It's like this happened. There's documentation.
That's pretty awesome. This. Yeah.
And I think the documentation, as far as the war accounts go, is it had to be the Viet Cong that they were fighting with. They just didn't kill any of the Viet Cong.
Okay.
But the people that were there said, nah, it was monkeys. Really scary monkeys.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing some more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over the 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. My dog Grace loves it. She just gobbles it up. Go check out Badlands Ranch. You can get there at badlandsranch.com/corncrew and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/corncrew today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hill 868 became known among them as being allegedly so infested with rock apes after this, it was then transferred the name of Monkey Mountain.
Monkey Mountain?
In 1968, members of Mike Company, the 3rd Battalion of the 5th Marine operating on the hill of 868, apparently often came across plentiful physical evidence of these creatures, such as droppings, tufts of fur, footprints, and they were hearing eerie barks and cries at night. There's a lot of stories. This is the like third or fourth one we've heard the rock apes bark like a dog.
Okay. You think that's what they sound like, or you think maybe that's they're imitating?
That could be either one. That's a noise okay. that they like.
Okay.
They make that noise. I don't know. We'll talk about signaling. You know, right. Bigfoot in the U.S. uses owls.
Right.
So what if they're using dogs in Vietnam? I don't know. I don't know if these things are even remotely related to Bigfoot whatsoever.
Right, yeah.
Hairy hominid.
Exactly.
What I was going to say. So where was I? Thank you for interrupting me, young man.
Sorry.
The rock apes were described as throwing like girls, but viciously. I don't know what that means. And the men reported often being seriously injured in the hurls of their own projectiles. So it has to be a compliment if the guys are getting hurt by the rocks.
But they said they're throwing like girls?
I wonder if they mean underhand. Or
oh, maybe. Like a softball pitch.
Yeah, like a softball
and
pitch.
And like whipping it. Actually, that kind of makes sense because, well, again, we're applying Bigfoot logic to this right now.
Yeah, hairy hominids.
There you go. We'll just say that. There's a video I've seen, and I believe it's authentic because there's a video, I'm sure you've seen it, where a guy like sees like something he's filming. And he up on the hill, looks like across the street and up in like these woods.
Yes.
And this thing is like just hunched over sitting there. You don't know what it is. But then it stands up and it has a rock in its hand because you can see it whip through at him. But it swings and does like a, almost like a discus throw, under like an underhand, and just launches this rock. And you can see the full arm extension, throws this thing across, goes right past the guy. But if that were to be fake, you're going to have to fake someone, one in a suit, but the arms were so long, it's going to have to be like, you know, fake arms built into the suit that's able to pick up a rock and grip it, reach back and hurl it, and be somewhat accurate all at the same time for it to be fake. So, I mean, to me, that just is saying a lot of things that point toward it being authentic. But like you said, he didn't throw it like a pitcher, like an overhand, like throwing it hard. He threw it like kind of sideways underhand, like a discus is the best way I can describe it. And pretty accurate. So I could see what they're saying.
Okay.
Throwing like a girl. I can see that. Like
this is a quote from a soldier from, you know, 60s. So
yeah.
70 years ago almost now.
Yeah.
60 years ago.
Totally see that. Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, when I seen that, when I was doing it, I'm like, I don't get what that means, throw like a girl, but they're being hurt.
Yeah.
Because normally when my sister was an amazing pitcher.
Yeah.
If she threw a ball at you, you'd be dead.
Oh, it hurt.
So, but traditionally, though, throwing like a girl is an American insult.
Right, yes.
So I didn't get that connection, so I'm glad you explained it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't get why they're saying they're throwing it like a girl and seriously injuring the men.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I was like, that doesn't, I don't get if you're saying that you're insulting them, but
yeah,
it's killing soldiers.
So probably not. I'd say they're rocketing them underhand at them.
So yeah, this Ape Hill, this new a couple years later, the new platoon that was manning the hill heard barks, cries, screams all night. As if anytime they'd walk a little too far from camp, they'd get hit in the head with a rock.
What if that hill was a fairy mound?
Oh, man, all kinds of good stuff for the end of the episode, and you're just putting it out here,
sprinkling it in.
Vietnamese fairy mounds. Maybe I'll change the whole topic. Let me do some research real fast.
Yeah.
So the apes were described as like throwing, like I said, in one account given the a Vietnam veteran named Steve Canyon, a unit of Marines were on the hit of the jungle in the hill at night testing the new muzzle flash and noise suppressor for their weapons. As they were setting up, they suddenly noticed a rock ape glaring at them from the thick vegetation, reportedly completely unafraid. After a few moments of staring at the soldiers, these creatures were said to let out the sound like that of a barking dog. One of the men threw a rock to scare it away. Don't do that. They hit it, and hit it dead on. After which, the ape picked up the rock of its own and hurled it at them. It was then they noticed that there were more rock apes gathering around them in the jungle, at least 20, but probably more. And they began screeching, howling, and throwing rocks at the frightened men in unison, despite the threatening situation. They did not open fire, but instead made a hasty retreat. When they asked later why they had not shot at the creatures, Canyon would say, "I don't know. It did not seem right. But those apes started to come out at us and ran as fast as we could. And we didn't stop until we got out of that jungle." So
They were being pursued by them?
They didn't chase them into the camp, but they chased them out of the jungle.
Yes.
But Canyon himself said, "I don't know. It just didn't seem right."
Yeah.
Did not shoot him. So, you know, to me, it's very human, you know, a human reaction. A lot of people, like that group is trying to kill a Bigfoot. They've had people, shooters, not take shots and back out of their group.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Right.
Like, it was like, it looked at me. It was like, that's a guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a human, but that's somebody down there.
And I can imagine, too, even not just being like Bigfoot in particular, but just an ape in general, putting myself in that situation, if I have my sights, you know, looking through a scope and you see an ape and it looks at you, I don't think I could shoot it.
So we're already at 41 minutes and I have a lot more encounters to get through. So I think we're going to do a part two of this, and it'll be later or whatever, you know, yeah. when it's not going to be a 1-2 like the follow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But let's get into, because I have a lot more encounters.
Yeah. No, this is great. I think this is.
This is one of those ones that eventually was like started really hard to research. Then I found a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
So let's talk. I'm going to talk about my grandpa's story first, and then we'll get into some possibilities.
Okay.
And there's a lot of really cool possibilities, including government sabotage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Vietnamese vampires.
Ooh. Whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Whole lot of stuff.
That's why a garlic does not grow in Vietnam. Do you know that?
Because of Vietnamese vampires?
Yeah.
Isn't there not Vietnamese garlic?
Not at all. Garlic doesn't grow in Vietnam. Mm. You know why? Because I made all that up.
I was going to say.
None of that's true.
So my grandpa was an oil tank driver.
Okay.
For the front lines. He would deliver the fuels and Agent Orange. They didn't know they had Agent Orange in the tank, though.
It was jet fuel.
It was jet fuel is what he drove. I'm not joking.
No, I know. He told me.
But
didn't he think it was jet fuel, but it turns out.
Most time it was jet fuel, but they did Agent Orange because he had the Agent Orange spots on his arm.
Yeah.
Where it burned his skin so bad.
Yeah.
And we'll talk. We do a whole episode in Agent Orange.
Yeah.
I think the DW boys talked about it in their Monsanto.
Yeah, for a little
Dark
bit,
Water episode.
I remember when I was editing that episode, producing it for him. Popped up.
But our Agent Orange was one of the worst compounds we've ever made. It melted the rainforest. But Grandpa was like, impressed because a week later the rainforest would be right back.
Yeah, ain't that nuts?
He's like it was a really fertile area because we dumped this stuff on it. He's like, he would talk about it melting trees.
Yeah.
Into a slurry.
And then they'd pop back up green.
A week. Yeah. A week. So Grandpa would drive a oil tank. They didn't stop. They were about three times the size of a semi-tanker, multi-fueled trucks.
Okay.
So they hauled about three times the amount of fuel.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And they didn't go very fast, but they didn't stop. He said it would sound like popcorn driving through the jungle because they were getting every Viet Cong was taking shots at the oil tanker trying to bust it.
Yeah.
Because it would explode.
Yeah.
Or to try to kill them inside the cab, because then they would get a bunch of jet fuel.
Right, yeah.
So he's like, the whole time we were driving, just popcorn. And he would just describe it so nonchalant. Just ting, 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 ting.
That's bullets?
And it's bullets hitting the fuel tanker.
Wow.
And he's like, the second you got about 10 minutes out of the compound until you got to the next compound, just ting, 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 ting. They just sit there because they knew the trucks were coming.
Jeez.
And he would have a gunner that never made it more than 5 minutes.
What do you mean?
He used very colorful language. They would always settle. So the black people in Vietnam got the worst jobs.
Okay.
Even everybody in Vietnam, it was sucked.
Right, right, right.
But the gunner would sit on the outside a little bit to shoot at the people shooting at the truck. So they would jump out immediately because they're driving a giant silver target through the jungle. So he would always do it by himself because he'd start with somebody and then they'd immediately abandon him.
Oh, they would jump out and leave.
Yeah, they'd walk back to camp.
Wow.
Because they'll take their court-martial, whatever.
Yeah.
And so Grandpa would get abandoned. So 250 of them were trained and put into Vietnam. Only 61 made it back.
Truck drivers? Fuel drivers?
Those type of drivers. Giant multi-fuel trucks.
Wow.
There were only 61 of them made it back, and two of them lived in Ada.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. Grandpa and his buddy.
Wow, that's nuts.
Anyways, driving, you know, it sounded like this. Event every once in a while they would have to stop and camp, and there was like they'd have to hide this truck, right? Because the Viet Cong, this is a humongous money supply,
right?
And the one time he told me the story, he said it wasn't him, and the other time he told me I was older, he said it was him, So I don't, you know, I think it was him. So he pulled into this area with one of the guy who was with him. They were on this rock hill and they were hidden because it was, you know, it was the only place they could hide. They had tarps and stuff they'd put over the truck, That night. Apes came out and were throwing rocks at the oil tanker, and it was making so much noise. And Grandpa was like, he didn't know they were trying to get him seen or they were just throwing it because it was funny.
Yeah.
Because he described them as big monkeys. He's like, other people seen them, they're just really big monkeys. And eventually, they weren't supposed to shot. They shot up at the hill to get him to stop, and they had to leave. They had to just keep driving through the night, which is even more dangerous.
Yeah.
Because these monkeys would not leave the oil tanker alone.
Yeah.
And because they just kept throwing rocks at him. And he's like, everybody's seen him. He's like, they were just animals. And so that was the neat thing about Grandpa. He encountered these, and he's just like, they were so common. He's like, he didn't do, the one time that he had to blow up an oil tanker, did I ever tell you that story?
He had to blow it up?
Because he got compromised. They shot all the tires out.
Oh.
So there was a rig they would do to blow up the fuel so the Viet Cong wouldn't get it.
Right, yeah.
So he did this, and he immediately run. He's being hunted by the Viet Cong, running through the jungle, gets into a rice paddy with his buddy, and they lay in the rice paddy, and they start breathing through, like, reeds, jeez, stuff like that. They're there for 3 days. They don't move. The Viet Cong are trampling through this rice, just giant rice paddy, looking for him.
Yeah.
And they just keep hearing him splashing, splashing, splashing. The leeches had leeches, had leeches, had leeches. And they were all in their crotches and stuff like that, being eaten alive. And he's like, when we got it, you know, eventually when they got it, they were literally pulling leeches off of leeches that were sucking blood out of other leeches.
Jeez. Oh,
and his buddy was about to get up. And he told the story. He was going to shoot his buddy because his buddy was going to get up. He was going to stab him. And
he was going to stab who? Your grandpa?
My grandpa was going to stab the other guy. Because the other guy's like, Raymond, I can't. I got to get up. And grandpa's like, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill us if you can stand up. Because you hear them sloshing around. They're in this giant rice paddy with him.
Yeah.
And grandpa's like, I'm going to kill you if you stand up. Like, because he's like, you're going to get us both killed. And he's like, I got to stand up, Raymond. Stands up. And obviously, grandpa didn't kill him. Stands up and just starts laughing. And grandpa's like, he's lost it. Like, we're about to be caught by the Viet Cong. You know, we're going to a POW camp. Like,
yeah,
we're going to be tortured and murdered.
So what was it?
Grandpa stands up. It was water buffalo.
Sloshing around.
The water buffalo had been in the rice paddy with him for 3 days. The Viet Cong wouldn't follow him. They never blew up the truck. The truck didn't go off. Viet Cong got the truck and we're running back to camp with it. We're all happy.
Wow.
So he's like, you know, we were mad.
So he never got to blow up the truck?
Huh?
He never did blow up the truck?
They set it up to rig to blow, and then they have to leave because the Viet Cong are coming right now.
Right.
The Viet Cong got the charge essentially off before it went up.
Gotcha.
So the Viet Cong were all excited, happy that they were doing whatever they were doing.
Left them alone.
And left them alone. And then
the water buffalo were
eating the rice in the rice paddock. And so, yeah, I thought that is
pretty funny.
He's like, they just stood up laughing. They were so tired. Grandpa, like, literally just started pulling pounds of leeches out of their pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's awful.
And then the leeches, there was, you know, there's land leeches, right?
No.
Yeah. South America and Asia has land leeches. So literally leeches that will, like ticks, wait on leaves.
Yeah.
And just get on you.
Yeah. What's worse to have on you, though? A leech or a tick? Probably a tick, right?
You get more diseases from ticks.
That's what I thought.
And leech you can pull off. Tick you can't because they'll leave their mouths in you.
In you, yeah.
No, so, yeah, I thought that was... So that's Grandpa's Vietnam. But he would talk about him and just... And he had some other small stories about Vietnamese rock apes of other people. Like,
yeah.
Like, people killing him and stuff like that. He's like... would talk about people seeing bodies. He's like, it wasn't common, but everybody knew they were there.
Right, yeah.
Like, nobody said... he's like... I thought they were monkeys. And he's like, I knew when we got back and after the Vietnam War, they were going to have them in zoos here and stuff like that, and they never had them.
Yeah.
And he's like, that was weird to me. And now, you know, talking about Bigfoot stuff like that, he's like, yeah, he thinks they were just tiny Bigfoots.
Hmm.
All right. I got some possibilities for you.
Okay.
I got a lot of options, actually.
Yeah.
First one is Vietnamese kids.
Okay.
Is that a lot of soldiers, and like I said, I grew up in a Vietnam household, went to all the Vietnam functions with grandpa. A lot of soldiers had a lot of processing that there was either the accidental shooting of kids. Kids died in the crossfire a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Wars are terrible.
And kids were maybe mistaken for the Viet Cong and shot.
Yeah.
So one of the possibilities that gets posed for this is that it was a way for the human brain to rationalize away the atrocities of war.
Right, yeah.
It's like the one I told you with the eight people, the short people walking up on the platoon, and the platoon destroyed a forest shooting at them. It could have been a group of kids. Oof. And that they panicked because they were in a war.
And just murdered them.
Yeah. I don't think that's most of these stories, personally. That is one that's posed out there. Vietnam was horrible for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the atrocities of war... Are there atrocities terrible. For a reason?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of kids died in Vietnam. Grandpa talked about it a lot. I won't share the story, but the one that messed him up was with a kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just a lot of that. I've seen other people talk about that one, like I do with these episodes. I try to include all the possibilities.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's most of these stories,
but I'm sure
that's one, you know.
Sure, it's part of it.
I shot a monkey. I didn't shoot a kid. I shot a monkey.
Right, yeah.
You know, And kids are kids, right? Throw stones at you. Grandpa said, you know, like, they would throw him candy. They get company money. He'd buy candy and stuff and throw it out of his truck when he's going through a village and stuff like that for the kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so there was a lot of kids. He had a mama-san and stuff like that, which was a lady that cooked for him and cleaned his barracks. And she had her kids that she'd bring, and they'd hang out in his barracks with him. Grandpa loved Vietnam. That was one thing that we never got to do. He really always wanted to go back.
Yeah.
He fell in love with the country and
the people there.
He cooked, and for an old white guy, he cooked so much Vietnamese food.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. He had
a big wok and I don't know if it's actually called a wok. It looked like a wok. I don't know what it's called for Vietnamese dishes.
I'm sure it's the same.
But yeah, he had a giant wok and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
I mean, that horseradish I have in the backyard is from Vietnam.
Oh, really?
He brought that back with him.
Wow, I really got to get a piece of that and plant it.
Yeah, we thought it died with him. Like, it didn't grow for 2 years. Now it's back.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
So that's the one. I know it's kind of a sad note, but it's war.
Yeah, I know.
It's horrible. Everybody involved, the Vietnam, the Viet Cong, and the Americans that were there fighting.
Yeah.
It sucked for everybody.
Yep.
So I just wanted to put that out there. What do you think of that one?
I think it's not good, but I agree with you. It happens, and war is awful.
Like, the last 10 years of Grandpa's life was completely different. Like, he started opening up talking about...
Yeah, stuff.
People that he had to kill, you know? People that were killing in the accidents that happened and stuff.
Yeah.
Because forever, he said he never shot anybody in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't think he was lying. I just think that his brain... It was horrible.
Yeah, didn't want to admit it.
So it blocked it out, you know? Yeah. Anyways.
No, I've heard some... My dad's cousin, he's passed away now, but... He was in the war too, and told some just awful.
Vietnam's awful.
Yep.
My next one for you is a biological one.
All right.
Snub-nosed monkeys.
Ooh.
So it's the Okun snub-nosed monkey and the Dolman snub-nosed monkey. Vietnam's largest native primate species is also highly endangered, especially today. They are so critically endangered, in fact, they are long thought to be extinct and were rediscovered in 1989.
Wow.
So during the time of Vietnam is when they thought they were extinct. They survived the Vietnam War and reemerged. Although even now we think there's only about 250 to 500 of these animals left. Snub-nosed monkeys are found through China, Vietnam, parts of Myanmar, and other flat upturned for their flat upturned noses, their flat human-like faces.
Okay.
They are black and mostly in color, but there are red and brown ones. And we'll talk about their size and everything like that. Here's the kicker for them.
Okay.
They bark like dogs.
Interesting. Well, that kind of checks some boxes
here. So snub-nosed monkeys are known to bark like dogs. Yeah.
They got red, black hair, or black. They got human-like faces.
I'll show you.
What about the height or the size of them?
I'll get to that. But don't move or scroll, but look at the picture of them and just tell everybody what you think.
Okay.
So that's them walking like a monkey. They can stand up like monkeys do and walk like a man.
Yeah.
Very, especially in the jungle, very humanist face. Not a human face.
No, definitely not, but human-ish.
They have a more human nose than most monkeys do. They have a more flat human face.
Face, yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. That's so those...
They were thought to be extinct during the Vietnam conflict.
And then they found them again.
And then they found them back after.
Okay, but size.
I'm sorry. Let me get to that.
Okay.
So they only get to be about 3 to 4 foot tall.
Okay, that's...
And I mean, 3 foot tall is a big one.
That was my guess there. They look kind
of
small.
Now, they're not the 5 to 6 foot tall of most of the Vietnam rock apes seen. They do bark. They are there. They are amazing in the jungles. These guys are fast. They're cryptic. They're good hiders. They make all kinds of noises.
Yeah.
Screeches, screams, huts, hollers, and barks.
Okay.
But they're not as big. They're very secretive. So as far as we know from the Vietnam rock ape stories, complete different. Vietnam rock apes would walk right at people. They'd stare right at you.
Right, not scared.
Snub-nosed monkeys are very, very secretive and elusive.
Okay.
The people looking for them couldn't find them.
Right.
But they do fit the coloration patterns. They do fit the face. They fit the bark. So then they fit the area.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that one?
Well, I mean, I wonder if there's like a coexisting thing going on. Like where maybe these monkeys are living with the rock apes. Or, you know, kind of co-inhabit the same area?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm really speculating a lot, but, you know, what if they work together? What if they work in tandem? What if, I don't know. It's an interesting one because it fits a lot of boxes, but the size is just not fitting.
Here's one I think that is really plausible, and I think you'll get behind.
Ooh.
There's a lot of evidence to suggest shady three-letter organizations that were testing drugs like LSD at the time, at this exact time.
They were.
In the United States on American citizens without their knowledge.
Yes.
They did it in Vietnam, too. There's a lot of evidence to suggest this.
Okay.
They look like they may have been aerosoling LSD to see it, to test as a weapon. They used it both on the Viet Cong and the American soldiers. So these ghosts, these monkey ghosts that these soldiers would light up the jungle and destroy.
Yeah.
And they weren't there afterwards. Could have been an aerosoled or an ingested LSD experiment. So the big platoon, the famous one that has tons and tons, hundreds of eyewitnesses.
Right.
Before that one.
Okay, before that one.
They just did what? Do you remember what they were just doing? Eating company lunch.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
They just were at the tail end of eating company lunch.
Oh, that's why you said ingested.
Yeah. So they look over, and they see, one guy says he sees eight guys walking. And it could have been a group hallucination brought on by an ingested LSD.
Yeah.
And they lit up the jungle. Because the guys after, some of the guys that weren't, like, they couldn't find body hair, nothing.
Yeah,
they fired so many rounds that trees were falling down.
Hmm.
So I don't know. That's a thought. There's a lot of evidence to suggest this. Probably part two, we'll dive into that one a little more.
Yeah.
Because I have more of those encounters that I had were in the tail end of this, of my research.
Okay.
But yeah, what do you think of that one?
I think it's very plausible. It's the U.S. government, and they've been experimenting on citizens and soldiers throughout. Probably since World War One.
Oh yeah, I don't know at about least. Before World War One,
right?
But I think it was at World War One, right. And beyond.
Absolutely.
That's my. I'm sorry, World War One. I'm sorry. My apologies. I meant World War Two.
Okay, World War Two. Same.
From my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I think that's when a lot of Americans gave up a lot of liberties.
Yeah, for sure.
Was World War Two? I'm not saying there wasn't corruption and evil before World War Two. I think that's when we went to the big shift of like industrialized corruption.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, and World War One just might have been a catalyst just for World War Two, you know? It's hard telling.
I personally think World War One was natural.
I don't think any World War is natural.
As far as governments fighting governments? Corporations fighting corporations? Sure.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah.
Rich people killing other rich people to get power has been happening since we started collecting seashells.
I just think on the world stage of, like, I don't know. It's all set up, manufactured just to kill people and take over areas, control.
Yeah, but Archduke Ferdinand.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a catalyst for mass amounts of murder. Yep. Poor man.
I don't know. I don't know if he was good or bad.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's
I have no idea. I just know his name's Archduke Ferdinand.
And he's dead.
They failed his first assassination attempt.
Yep.
And then he went and got ice cream, and then the assassin was like, that's him.
Yeah.
All right, so my last one connects this to the Orang Pendek,
okay,
which is south, the southern cousin of this.
Yes.
Same generalized area, you know, but this is definitely another jungle man thing that is much more south. You know, we're talking Borneo, I think, Orang Pendek crosses in Borneo, but, you know, Malaysia, you know.
Yeah.
They're smaller. They're almost always red, like an orangutan, and they... I have trouble connecting this one. Behaviors are very different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vietnamese rock apes, if we would take the account seriously, which I do, are very aggressive, very nonchalant, very much showing off.
Right, yeah. Making noise.
Orang Pendek is completely the opposite.
Very secretive.
Very secretive. Every time you see them, they're running away from you.
Yeah.
They're very non-aggressive. Like,
and small.
The smaller.
Yeah.
A lot of the Vietnam rock apes, the couple of the stories I had were 6 foot, 7 foot tall. Most of them were, you know, that 5 foot to 6 foot tall.
Right, yeah.
Smaller to average size people.
For
the rock ape.
I mean, honestly, I'm kind of shocked they described them as small because, I mean, Vietnam or, you know, just Asians in general.
I'm describing them as small.
Right, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, because we were comparing them to, like, Bigfoot type creatures. Because to them, that wouldn't be small at all.
So, a couple...
I mean, that's bigger than national human average. You know,
Indonesia,
males.
You know, is the Orang Pendek.
Yes.
Homo forensis is what we're going to talk about.
Is that Hobbit people?
It was. It was Homo habilis.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to Homo forensis.
Okay.
So we'll talk about Homo forensis. I'm going to give you the real quick one of it. 60,000 years old, Diminutive beings dwelled in Indonesian islands of Florensis, alongside Komodo dragons, pygmy stegodons, which are mini-sized elephants.
Nice.
They are now extinct humans. Their scientific name is Homo Florensis, reportedly known as the Hobbits. They stood around to less than 4 feet tall, with brains about one-third the size of living people. So they were a human.
Right.
But they had very small brains, even compared to their body size.
Okay.
So, you know, we can say whatever you want. I don't know if directly of brains amass to intelligence. Brain size. They're also, you know, smaller bodies, so their brains didn't have to do as much.
Exactly, yeah.
They did have stone tools. They butchered meat. They crossed miles of open ocean to colonize other tropical islands. It is 15 years since they first started research into this project. There's a group really, really diving into like what they were doing on a daily basis.
Yeah, neat.
And they're finding a lot of historical evidence. Homo forensis fossils have been found in Lingbu Caves of Florensis, a narrow island about 200 miles long, about 40 miles wide, along the Southeast Asia and Australia. It looks like they made it both to mainland Australia and in mainland Asia. There's still arguments about that, though, as archaeology goes. Initially, researchers reported the remains dated back between 12,000 and 95,000 years ago. For the extinct human species, 12,000 years ago is crazy recent. Modern humans, you know, were building permanent settlements and monuments at that time. It turns out, though, you know, they argue about this date a lot. Some scientists believe it's 60 to 100,000 years ago is when they went extinct. Others, 50 to 190,000 years ago. There's still a big group in that camp of the 12 to 20,000 years ago is when they went extinct. I'm in the camp they didn't go extinct.
Functionally extinct.
I don't think they ever went extinct. I think they're living in the jungles. I think modern day humans moved into their areas.
Yeah.
They did not win that fight.
Right.
And then they went back to a more primitive living in the jungles.
So there are those pygmy tribes like what's that one dude from? I know I've talked about him on the show before though. David Choi, I think is his name. He went out to the Congo jungle and met.
They're not pygmy like this.
These are much smaller.
Yeah.
But there could be some sort of lineage, you know, some relation somewhere, you know, down the line, cousins or one way or the other. Either way, there are smaller people that live in the jungle, but not this small. But
these are proportional. I want to make it very clear. You know, these are proportional humans.
Yeah.
People here are like the hobbits or like pygmy people and stuff like that and think they're not proportional.
Correct.
Like somebody that has a dwarf syndrome.
Right, right.
You know, dwarfism. I couldn't think of the word.
Right.
For a second. You know, where their brains are, why they may look unproportional is their brains are the same size. Their organs are the same size.
It's just their
skeletal structure is shrunk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. These are Homo forensis that was Homo habilis. And, you know, the pygmies of the Congo, which I don't know if that's an appropriate term anymore. Or not. I don't know what else to call them.
Yeah, I don't know either.
There was pygmies of the Sahara that were hunted by Europeans to extinction. We talked about them on several episodes.
So weird.
But they were bigger than this. These are like toddler sized anatomical humans.
Right. Yeah. I just mean hunting humans in general. It's just like so messed up.
So in my opinion, what happened is Homo forensis probably controlled this whole part of Asia.
Okay.
I don't know if rock apes are Homo forensis or if they're a different cousin, a different human. So when modern day humans moved in there, you know, Homo sapiens.
Yeah, push them into the
fringes. They had a little bit of culture starting to develop. Mm. They were kind of at that turning point, you know, what I'll say, in my opinion, they were at the turning point of civilization. They went from, you know, probably they were in small camps and stuff to, you know, they were going to make that next step if modern day humans didn't move in.
Right.
Because they had stone tools. There's literally them chopping up these stegodons, these mini elephants, who are like 4 foot tall elephants.
Which is awesome.
I wish they were still around.
Me too.
We'd all have them as pets. They would be all over the world as pets.
Where's Colossus now? And we want those. We don't want Mastodon.
Go to Patreon and listen to the Colossus episode. I want I want mammoths just as much as I want pygmy elephants.
Yeah, I know.
Too.
I want them both. But get them both in. Come on.
My ice fishing buddy is this mammoth. He drags out my sled for me.
Ooh, see, and I want a mini one to drag out my sled.
No, they're tropical. They're the only reason they got small.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, so I think we could be looking at two different things, or maybe the same thing, maybe different things. Rock apes seem to be a little large for Homo forensis.
Yeah.
But it could be a very close cousin.
Right, yeah.
And their behaviors are very different. the Homo forensis, they could have the orang pendek, which we'll do a whole episode on orang pendek. Don't worry. I don't know. That may be a season opener. I don't know.
You think so?
That's a season opener quality one.
Is that big hitter?
Yeah.
Swinging for the fences.
Mm-hmm. But orang pendek, you know, they're very secretive. There's video of them, stuff like that. What if when the settlers came in, killed off most of them, right? That's what humans do. I don't care what type of human.
Right. It's what they do.
It's just what you do when you come into an area. You either fight and kill or you breed with each other.
Right.
Like what happened to Neanderthals is it looks like it wasn't a fight to the death. It was a breeding out of, breeding out. We all today have Neanderthal DNA.
Right.
So forensis or orang pendek took the route of like a modern day North American Bigfoot.
Right.
I'm going to go hide. I'm going to hide in the places feral that these people can't get to.
Yeah.
I'm going to survive off the land. I'm going to be happy with that. Rock apes were like that for a while until they were getting shot. You know, they got the moniker. The Vietnamese obviously knew that they were shooting at one was not a good idea because when they shot one, that's not good.
It's usually, you got put pulled
in
the
parts. They found Viet Cong tore apart.
Yeah.
Like viciously tore apart after. Gosh. So what if they could be the same thing. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think a rock ape is?
I don't know. I almost just think it's I almost just want to say it's like a flesh and blood.
I had at least 10 more good stories.
I can't wait to hear them once we get to them.
Yeah.
But I think it's more of like a flesh and blood type creature. I don't know if it's on the Bigfoot side or just the ape, you know, big.
I know I compared a lot to Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I don't think these are Bigfoot.
See, I don't think they are either, but I think they could fall in like to that. How, you know, Bigfoot's like a physical being or a paranormal being or something just altogether different. These could fall into that, but I don't necessarily think they are that.
I think
same type of thing.
Yeah. Yep, yep. I think they're fully flesh and blood beings. I think if they're not Homo forensis, they were a very close cousin that we don't know about yet through the fossil record. Fossil record's full of giant holes everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that before Vietnam, they were known to be aggressive if messed with. And that the melting of the rainforest through Agent Orange
didn't help.
The constant warring, the gunfire, the clear cutting of forest put them on 10.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the Viet Cong obviously knew that they were not to be trifled with, and then the American soldiers seem to find that out as well.
Yeah.
I do have some very not good stories with the American soldiers also being viciously attacked. A lot of face biting, very similar to chimpanzees.
Yeah.
That's another one I kind of had that I really didn't include, but some people said it may be an orangutan, a cousin of orangutans that is probably extinct now. But maybe during the Vietnam War, they were on the edge of it.
Yeah.
And they were just hyper-aggressive like a chimpanzee can be.
Yeah.
You know, that they were smart. Orangutans are one of the smarter of the great apes.
And they were just pushed to the brink, basically.
Yeah, orangutans are all, there were species of orangutan we had lost.
Yeah.
I want to make that very clear. Modern day, there are subspecies of orangutan that are gone. Orangutans right now have a very good chance of not making it out of the century.
Yeah.
Orangutans are one of the like great apes that your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, will probably not see in the wild.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What, in zoos, though?
Yeah, sure, but okay. That's different.
Yeah, I know.
They will probably be gone from the wild.
Wow.
So to say that there was a species of orangutan that disappeared in the 60s and 70s that happened to be more aggressive and bigger?
Yeah,
yeah.
I can't rule that out.
Gigantopithecus, the cousin of orangutans,
yeah,
was 14 foot tall, but stood upright.
Right, yeah.
So to say that there's not one that's 6 foot tall, I mean, giant orangutans now, males, they don't ever really stand up tall, but I think they would get to that mark right now.
If they stood straight up?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're
usually
hunched over.
But they have the face flaps,
yeah,
right? That's not fat, just, you know, that's a sexual display feature. Like,
that's what I say, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So what do you think? Vietnamese rock apes?
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. I like the history, how there's so much history. You would think at some point, even now, modernly, I guess I would like to know if there's any more modern stories of them, like today, you know, like
so
if that's happening
Vietnam
still.
Vietnam is they're having a lot of trouble with their national preserves.
Yeah. Well, probably because we dumped Agent Orange all over everything.
Now it's the illegal pet trade.
Okay.
A lot of rare animals are in the Vietnam preserves.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of these preserves you're not allowed to go in.
Okay.
And there are people looking for Vietnamese rock apes. Same with the Orang Pendek
yeah.
of Indonesia. There are preserves that people go into to look for these. But I know there's a lot of specialized newts and salamanders in Vietnam that are so high dollar in the trade that are like on the verge of extinction that yeah. are in these preserves that literally armed guards will shoot you if you go into these nature preserves.
Yeah, dang, jeez.
So I don't know if there's as many modern stories.
Yeah.
Because now I think it's more if they still exist today, which they may not. They may have had such a number dealt to them
yeah, that
in Vietnam that they were functionally extinct. You know, they pittered out after. But if they still are, they may know the rules better.
Yeah, and hide more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious to know if there is still more.
I'm sure there is.
And if there is, like,
we have Vietnamese listeners.
I wonder if there's any, like, that they have captured. Where's the physical evidence of, you know, if everyone's seen so many, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, there's got to be some physical evidence of what they are, you know, left around still or something to analyze or...
Well, did you... Missed the fact that I said that we were dumping acid on the rainforest that was melting trees.
Yes, I know.
So I don't think of any bodies were laying there underneath it because...
Well, not that, but...
Grandpa got drops on his arms and it burnt down to the bone.
Yeah, that's insane. No, I know that. I mean, but there's so many Vietnamese there that you think they would have... If they would have killed one, at some point they would have drug it out of the forest or had one somewhere.
Did I ever tell you what they did with Grandpa's pet monkey?
What?
Did I ever tell you what they did with Grandpa's pet monkey in Vietnam?
Didn't they eat it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't you think they would have ate one of these rock apes?
Yeah, so I'm just saying.
So where's the fur? Where's the teeth?
They cooked it for bone stew.
Where's the toenail clippings?
Bone stew.
Where's the bare knee skin?
Oh, I never even mentioned the bare knee stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we're an hour 15 in this episode.
So let's finish it with that.
Real fast. The bare knee thing, why it's a cool... That's probably in my second part of the episode is why I never got to it. I had a little footnote for it.
Ooh, should we save it or tell it?
It doesn't matter. We'll bring it back up.
Okay.
Real quick, why they're called rock apes is they throw rocks, but they're also seen on these rock outcroppings. These giant, like basically like a rock slide. Imagine that habitat. Yeah. They're seen on their hands and knees, like pulling stuff out for food.
Okay.
Insects, snakes, lizards. So to me, if they were naturally furred, but they're doing this new behavior, they're basically wearing a callus on their knees.
Yeah. So the hair can't grow.
And then the hair, you know, doesn't grow there anymore. Yeah. That's the quick version. We'll cover it in part two whenever I do it. I have so many part twos I'm excited for.
Yeah.
All right, Vietnamese rock apes. I have been the great and powerful Mr. Reed.
And I've been Jay Clone 23.
We'll catch you next week with more exciting, informative information.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on CryptidsOfTheCorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.